when I was at university, I shared a house with some other guys. And one of my housemates, he had never done a bit of exercise in his whole life. And he was one of those really annoying people, you know the ones. They eat like a pig and look like a twig. One day he decided he wanted to have a bit of a stronger body, so he joined his friends at the gym and they showed him the ropes. He was gone for a good 2 hours. They pushed him quite a bit. And then the next day I was sat at the breakfast table and in came my housemate. He waddled over to the fridge, barely bending his arms or his legs, barely turning his neck. Every muscle in his body was aching. He said, "Dan, I don't think this is right. I think I've damaged myself. What have I done?" But you see, this is just one of those things, isn't it? When you exercise, muscles change in response. Cells die. They get replaced and all sorts of other things happen. It's painful, but it's worth it. There are lots of things in life that are painful, aren't there? And yet we know that they're worth it because of where it's leading. The Christian life is a daily taking up of our cross and following Christ, dying to our own desires and taking up Christ's desires. The suffering is often difficult to bear, but the path of the cross is absolutely worth it. Well, Psalm 102 is an absolutely incredible psalm. It helps us to remember our future hope in the midst of great suffering. We need the hope of Psalm 102. It's absolutely vital for Christian life, friends. And here's the message in a nutshell. Christ endured the cross for the joy set before him. Christ endured the cross for the joy set before him. You might recognize where that's from. Psalm 102 is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1. So please do keep a finger in Psalm 102 and turn to Hebrews 1. We'll need that in a minute. Well, Psalm 102, it's a messianic psalm. It's a prediction of the sufferings and then the subsequent glories of the Messiah, which Jesus fulfilled. Now, when Christians come to the Old Testament, I'm sure you know this, we see with the light of the New Testament. The Old Testament is filled with hints and predictions, whispers and shadows, all pointing to the coming Messiah, Jesus. And some places, like Psalm 102, well, they're much more explicit than others. In Old Testament times, reading scripture was a bit like walking around in a dark room, bumping into sofas and tables and trying to figure out what you're bumping into, guessing what's in the room. God's people saw faint outlines of what we now see with the light turned on. Well, come to Hebrews 1, verse 5 with me. "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father'?" You see, the author of Hebrews tells us that God the Father said this to God the Son. And it's a quote from the Old Testament. And then there's a whole string of quotes showing some other places, including Psalm 102, where the Father speaks to the Son. Verses 10 to 12 there are quoting Psalm 102. So we're told explicitly in Hebrews chapter 1 that Psalm 102 includes a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. And that doesn't mean that the psalmist didn't experience any of the things that he mentions. It simply means that the Holy Spirit inspired Psalm 102 to be pointing ultimately to Christ. Now do turn back now to Psalm 102. See, actually, the whole psalm is a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. Whole psalm. The first section, verses 1 to 11, is the anguished lament of the Son to the Father about his suffering on the cross. The second section, verses 12 to 22, is a response from the Father to the Son. He sets before the Son a vision of joy to come after salvation, the goal of the cross has been achieved. The third section, verses 23 to 24, that's another example, a similar lament of the Son to the Father. The fourth section, verses 25 to 28, is another similar response from the Father. And that's what's quoted in Hebrews chapter 1. So that's a big picture of the psalm that we're looking at. Firstly, we're looking at the laments. Christ endured the cross. And then secondly, we'll look at the responses for the joy set before him. So firstly, let's look at Christ endured the cross. Let's just read from the psalm now, from the very start. A prayer of an afflicted person who has grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. I'm in distress. I groan aloud and am reduced to skin and bones. I'm like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I've become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. For I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drinks with tears because of your great wrath, for you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. And then come to verse 23 for the second lament. In the course of my life, he, the Father, broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. Now, these are sobering words, aren't they? The inspired title of the psalm tells us this is a prayer of an afflicted person who has grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. This is a prayer of Jesus, friends. This is a deeply precious and yet utterly harrowing window into a prayer of our Lord and Saviour as he faced the cross, perhaps even while praying alone in Gethsemane that night that he was betrayed. In both laments, the Son begins by pleading for the Father not to do something. Come to verse 2 with me here. Do not hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Have you ever felt like this? Have you ever felt completely abandoned by God? Well, in these two laments, we can see the unbelievable suffering of Christ. And he is praying about it, friends. When you are suffering, follow the example of our Lord. Come to the Father in prayer. Cry out to him. And tell him honestly how you're feeling. Psalm 102 is an example to us of how we can pour out our laments to him. These words can give us a vocabulary to use in our suffering. Come to verse 24. With me. The Son says, do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my day. See, the first thing that he suffers from is the deep distress that in the very midst of his trouble, his Father is abandoning him, cutting his life short. He is facing the cross. In Gethsemane, Jesus said this, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And this prayer shows the towering waves of sorrow crashing all around our Saviour in high definition. This is our Lord, our King, our brother, our friend, facing the terrifying wrath of God in our place. In verse 3, Jesus says, my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. His life feels fleeting and futile. He's being consumed like a burnt offering on God's altar. And just like a sacrifice, would be consumed by fire and the smoke just fade away. His life feels futile. It's vanishing before his eyes. When Jesus died, that's just what it looked like. It looked pointless. It looked like defeat. Yet it was the power of God on display to save sinners like you and me, friend. In verse 4, Jesus likens his life, his heart, to grass which withers away. Again, a picture of how transient and mortal he feels. I forget to eat my food. The very thought of enduring the cross is so distressing to him that he forgets to eat. I wonder if you've ever been so anxious about something that you've forgotten to eat. Well, Christ looks to the cross. He knows he's about to face the very wrath of the Father for the sins of his people. He knows what horrors are involved. And he forgets to eat his food. He's so distressed at the thought. Verse 5, Jesus says, I'm reduced to skin and bones. In other words, I am wasting away and disfigured. See, after being thoroughly whipped and beaten, his body was covered in open wounds. They were likely exposed bones. Isaiah says his appearance was so disfigured, beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Verse 6 and 7 describe Christ's deep loneliness. He feels like an owl among some ruins, a solitary bird on a roof. Maybe you felt alone like this. Maybe you know something of what it feels like for everything in your life to come crashing down around you. No one around you to help you or comfort you. Well, for Jesus, not only did his disciples utterly abandon him during his arrest, but worst of all, on the cross, the Father himself hides his face from his Son. He is totally alone in a way that none of us will ever experience. And as if this weren't enough, in verse 8, he says he's taunted, ridiculed by his enemies. The religious leaders, they taunt and jeer at him on the cross. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. He saved others, but he can't save himself. That's what they say. In the second, much shorter lament, verses 33 to 24, Jesus cries out again. In verse 23, he says, in the course of my life, he, the Father, broke my strength. And verse 24, do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. God has made him weak and is about to cut his earthly life short. Jesus is enduring the cross with broken strength. He was crucified in weakness. Christ feels desolation, futility, rejection. He's exposed and completely alone. In the midst of all of this, he understands his suffering to be ultimately the Father's action. He says in verse 10, because of your wrath, you have taken me up and thrown me aside. In verse 23, he says of God the Father again, he broke my strength. He cut my days short. As Christ endured the cross, it was the outpouring of the Father's wrath. Isaiah says it was his will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. On the cross, Jesus bore the wrath of God the Father. There, his life was burned up. His days were shortened. His strength was broken. His heart suffered and withered like grass. He was abandoned by all his closest friends like a lone bird on a roof. The Father turned his face away and took him in the middle of his life. This is the cross Christ endured, friends. Maybe you're suffering a severe trial right now, and it feels like God has hidden his face from you. Like he's not paying attention. like your prayers aren't being heard. Maybe you feel like you're in a small boat with a great storm raging around you. And you're rowing furiously, bailing out the water, terrified of drowning. And for all you can tell, God might as well be sleeping below deck. Christian, remember that though it may not seem like it, God is with you. And he is with you because of the saving work of Christ on the cross. See, on the cross, Christ was alone so that you might never be alone. On the cross, the Father turned his face away from the Son so that you might always know his smile. The cross described in Psalm 102 is what we all deserve for our rebellion against God. Eternal punishment in hell, alone, in utter darkness, never-ending burning and separation from God. But for all those who believe in Jesus, they are forgiven. Because on the cross, he took our place and paid the price we owed for our sins. See, Isaiah, speaking of the cross, says Christ was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. This is the cross that Christ endured for you, Christian. As you read these words of suffering in Psalm 102, let them stir your heart. Let them move you as you behold the unspeakable suffering Christ willingly endured so that you might be forgiven. And this is such overwhelmingly good news that it transforms us completely, doesn't it? It fills us with gratitude to our Saviour, and it helps us each day to forgive those who sin against us. It helps us to love much because we have been forgiven much. Well, firstly, in the psalm, we've seen the sufferings of Christ. Christ endured the cross. And secondly, we're going to look at the response of the Father, which strengthens the Son in placing an immense vision of joy before him. Christ endured the cross for the joy set before him. Come to verse 12 with me. The Father responds to the Son. But you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come, for her stones are dear to your servants. Her very dust moves them to pity. The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory. For the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth, to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. And then verse 25. Again, the Father responds to the Son. In the beginning, you, Lord, the ancient Greek translation of Psalm 102 has the word Lord here. And that's what's quoted in Hebrews 1. So we'll go with that. In the beginning, you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. A little while back, Lydia and I had to give a blood sample to the ONS each month for a COVID survey. In return, they gifted us some vouchers. It was great, really helpful. They send us a needle in the post, which you basically just had to stamp onto your finger to get a blood sample. Well, do you know what? The urge not to stab yourself was unbelievable. It's really hard not to do it. We couldn't do it, actually. But eventually, the incentive of the vouchers helped us to push past the fear and stab our fingers. We needed to have our sight drawn past the present pain toward the future gain. Well, in Psalm 102, we've seen that both of the laments reach a climax of impending death. In verse 11, the son said, "I wither away like grass." And in verse 24, he said, "Do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days." See, at the end of both laments, the phrase, "You, Lord," seems to mark the change in who is speaking. So in response, the father says to the son in verse 12, "But you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations." And in verse 25, "In the beginning, you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth." Verse 28, "The children of your servants will live in your presence." Do you see what he's doing? He's drawing the son's sight past the present suffering of the cross to the goal of the cross, the future hope. The father reminds the son of his identity as the eternal sovereign savior who cannot be held by death. And he reminds him of the glory-filled, eternal salvation that he's going to accomplish by enduring the cross. This is the joy the father places before him. The certainty that the sufferings of the cross would lead to a redeemed people who would then glorify and enjoy him forever as the supreme treasure of the universe. That's the big picture of the father's responses, the joy he sets before the son. But let's come to verse 12. He says to the son, "You sit enthroned forever," which contrasts verse 13, "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her." Now, Zion is symbolic for God's people here, by the way. See, at just the right time, driven by compassion, the Son of God rose from his position of eternal sitting on his throne. Can you believe that? And he was willingly lifted up on a cross to die for sinners like you and me. That is stunning. Verse 15 tells us that this act of compassion will result in the nations fearing the Lord and glorifying him. People from all nations will be redeemed and they'll glorify and enjoy Christ forever. Well, next we're told in verse 16, the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. See, though God's people have been broken down and destroyed like the ruins of a city because of their great sin, the sovereign Saviour's work will restore them. He's going to personally appear in his glory and pay attention to the prayer of the destitute. That's God's people. Next, verse 18 to 22. Well, they are a glorious summary of the gospel. Verse 18 says, "Let this be written for a future generation who will praise the Lord." That's Christians, that's us. This is the gospel. Come to verse 19 with me. "The sovereign Saviour looked down from his sanctuary on high, from heaven to earth. He saw the plight of his people trapped by sin and headed to eternal punishment." Look at verse 20 there. "He heard the groaning of the prisoners condemned to die," that is all of God's people, "and he came to set them free." That's what Jesus came to earth to accomplish, to release those condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. The father says to the son, "As you choose to be condemned to death, it will set your people free, so that they might glorify and enjoy you forever." Do you see that? That is the joy that the father places before his son so that he might endure the cross. Come to verse 26 with me now, and we'll continue in the second vision of the joy placed before the son. "They," that's the earth and heavens, "will perish, but you remain." They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them and they will be discarded, but you remain the same and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. The suffering of the cross is agonizing. The cup of God's wrath is overwhelming. Christ faces death itself. And in the midst of this, the Father draws his Son's gaze past it all. He reminds him that he is not like earth and heaven, which will all perish. No, he will endure. Christ is their creator, and one day he will change them into a new heaven and a new earth, filled with God's redeemed people, glorifying and enjoying him forever. Do you see the future hope there? Christ endured the cross for the joy set before him. Well, Psalm 102 is a devastating window into the heart-rending suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ as he looked to the cross. But it also fills us with awe as we behold the immense joy that the Father placed before him so that we might endure. And Christian, as you follow Christ in this world, as you walk the blood-stained path of the cross, taking up your cross daily and following him, you can draw deep strength from this psalm. You can endure your cross by fixing your eyes on the joy placed before you, which is the same joy placed before Christ so that he might endure. This is the joy. This is it. The new heaven and the new earth filled with God's redeemed people, glorifying and enjoying Christ forever. So we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. Keep your eyes fixed on that joy placed before you. May it fortify you, Christian, as you endure your cross till that glorious day when we will see him face to face. When your colleagues are making your present life miserable because they know that you're a Christian, fix your eyes on the future hope, the eternal redemption and glory that you will know in the new heaven and earth with Jesus Christ. Let that strengthen you to endure your cross. When your family and friends ridicule or disown you because you follow Jesus, fix your eyes on the eternal kingdom of God, filled with all the redeemed from every age, all worshipping and enjoying him in his immediate presence. Remember, that is where you're headed, Christian. When you're longing to be married or wishing you weren't married, and you're tempted just to take the easy route out and disobey God's command of faithfulness. When you're tempted to not daily take up your cross, let the knowledge that one day you will be in the immediate presence of the Creator of the universe and filled with immeasurable joy, let that fortify your resolve to take up your cross and keep walking, Christian. Well, in Psalm 102, we've seen some of what it means for Christ to endure the cross, and we've seen the joy set before him by the Father so that he might be strengthened to endure it. Christ endured the cross for the joy set before him. And Christian, we follow in the way of Christ. We too endure our cross for the joy set before us. Let's read the whole psalm through now to finish. A prayer of an afflicted person who has grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud and am reduced to skin and bones. I'm like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I've become like a lone bird on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. For I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears because of your great wrath. For you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. For her stones are dear to your servants. Her very dust moves them to pity. The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory. For the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Let this be written for a future generation, and a people not yet created may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. In the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, "Do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations." In the beginning, you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you.